Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom we are chosen by God to be his children, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We read from chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the possession of it to the praise of his glory. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Over the past couple of months, I've been having pre-marriage classes with a young couple who are going to be married in Southern California at the end of August. And as a homework assignment for their next session, I asked them both to write down five things that they love about their future spouse. Or to put it a different way, five reasons they are marrying their future spouse. Those, of course, are important things to think about because, as you probably know, getting married is a very important decision. One of the most important choices a human being can make in their life. It's also a very blessed one. Not just because you are making the choice to be with someone for the rest of your life, but also that that person has chosen you and only you for the rest of their life. What an amazing thought, an amazing blessing that is. What a blessed comfort and feeling it is to be chosen in that way. To have the secure sense of belonging, a sense of being wanted, a sense that someone cares about you deeply enough to commit themselves to you for as long as they live. In our text for today, the Apostle Paul speaks about being chosen. However, he talks about a choice that is even more important, even more long-lasting than even being chosen for a lifetime of marriage. He's talking about an eternal choice that actually wasn't made by anyone, at least not by any human being anyway. What Paul writes about in our text is being chosen by God. That choice has all the spiritual blessings we'll ever need. It has all the comfort that we could ever ask or hope for. Now, maybe it's something we're used to hearing, so maybe it doesn't seem all that amazing or all that comforting at first. But when we take a look at our situation when we came into this world and compare it with what the Bible says we were like by nature, we realize pretty quickly just how incredible it is that God has chosen us. It helps us to realize then just how amazing God's grace is. And by grace, we mean his undeserved love. Think again of that young couple and think of the lists that they may come up with as to why they have chosen the other as their future spouse. Those of you who are married probably could come up with at least five, I would hope. I hope they're able to come up with at least five when I meet with them in a couple of weeks. Five reasons why you married the spouse that you chose. You could come up with a pretty good list, I would imagine. Your spouse is caring and compassionate. Maybe you chose them because they are trustworthy and faithful. Maybe you find them to be attractive. You like their personality. You like their sense of humor. You like many other good qualities about them that led you to make that choice of them as your spouse for life. But if we were to ask ourselves the question, why did God choose us to be with Him for eternity in heaven? What kind of list could God come up with? What list could He compile that would make Him or move Him to say, I'm going to choose them because of how great they are? What in us would have led God, the holy, almighty creator of the universe, who is everything and not has no absence in and of Himself, what could move Him to choose us? What could He find in us that would be to Him attractive? Well, nothing, if you believe what the Bible says about us in our natural state. The Bible tells us the truth. The state that we're born in this life, is death. In the next chapter of Ephesians, Paul reminds us that we were dead in sins. So would you go looking for someone to choose as your own from among dead people? I don't think so. I didn't go looking for my spouse in a graveyard. The Bible also says that by nature we are enemies of God. We are hostile toward Him. Would you even dream of choosing as your lifelong companion someone who is by nature your enemy? No. At least you wouldn't do that on purpose. So why in the world then would God have chosen us if there's nothing desirable or attractive in us spiritually by nature? We don't measure up to the standard of holiness that He's set for us, that He demands for us in His law. What could have possibly moved Him to choose you and me to be His very own forever? We can answer that question with two words: because of His love and because of Christ. That answer is put clearly for us in verses 4 and 5 of our text. It says, He, that is God the Father, chose us in Him, that is, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. Did you catch all that? Did you notice that phrase, before the foundation of the world? That means before time began. God chose us in Christ. It means before He ever said, let there be, He chose you and me. If that is true, then let me ask you this. How much did you have to do with that choice that God made? How much choosing did you do in this situation? The answer is none. You didn't even exist yet. Nothing existed yet. That may not seem like that profound of a fact, but do you realize the comfort that gives us? It means that our salvation is absolutely not dependent on us. It's not dependent on our choosing, but rather it's dependent on God's choosing of us, which Paul clearly says in this text was before the foundation of the world. He's simply that good, that gracious, and that loving. And Paul says at the end of verse 5 of our text that He chose us to be His own essentially because He wanted to, according to the purpose of His will, is how Paul puts it. And Paul goes on to say that He gives us His grace so that we would then be led to thank and praise Him. Verse 6 says, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Notice Paul used a big word there that often confounds us or maybe confuses us. It's the word predestination. And that teaching in the Bible of God's election or predestination can sometimes bring up some very difficult questions in our minds and hearts, but one of them usually is this. How do I know for sure then that I am one of the chosen? How do I know for sure that God has predestined and chosen me? Have I been adopted into God's family? How can I know for sure? Well, the Bible tells us that God sent His one and only Son in the world to die to forgive our sins. And it says very clearly that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? It's one of the most clear and simple gospel passages, one you've probably known from the time you were very little. If you do believe that, then yes, you are one of the elect. You are an adopted child of God. It really is as simple as that, because if we can say, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord, that means the Holy Spirit is there in your heart. Because the Bible also tells us no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's important because Paul tells us in the last verses of our text that the Holy Spirit who's been given to us by Christ is our guarantee that we've been adopted, that we have in fact been chosen as God's children. Listen again to verses 13 and 14. In Him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, and that's referring to Jesus, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. He is our guarantee of the inheritance that will be ours forever in heaven. Now, I understand what you're saying here, Pastor, but that seems too simple. After all, sometimes I'm not so sure that I actually do believe. I look at my life, I look at my words, my actions, and my thoughts, and I wonder, how can a true Christian do or say or think the things that I do? Sometimes I think my faith might not be genuine at all. Maybe it's just a charade. Maybe it's just a mask that I put on. Maybe my faith is, in the end, just a sham altogether. How do I know for sure that I am one of the chosen? Ever had thoughts like that before? If you're a living, breathing human being with a pulse, then you probably have. Well, let me remind you that our assurance of our salvation does not come from inside of us. That's often where we turn when we have doubts about our faith, isn't it? What can I see in myself that's proof that I am a believer or that I am one of the chosen? That's not where we should look. Don't turn inward when we have fears or doubts or when our faith is shaken. We're not going to find the answers there. Turn outward. Turn to the eternal truth of the gospel of Christ. Turn and look to that cross of Calvary, that cross that I point to nearly every Sunday to remind us that is where our assurance lies. That is how we know we are chosen. That's how we know God loves us. The cross of Calvary, which is far above all of our thoughts, our feelings, our moods, our heart, and our mind. That is where our assurance of salvation lies. Paul began this sermon text by praising the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing He's given us in Christ. And one of those spiritual blessings is one that we already mentioned, our adoption as the children of God. Another of those blessings is the assurance that we are adopted by God in Christ. Listen to the verse 7 of our text again. It says, in Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins, according to the riches of His grace. There's that important word again. When our faith is shaky, when doubts arise in our hearts about our standing before God, We rest on His unchanging grace. In the riches of God's grace, we have been given those that are among the greatest spiritual gifts we can be given. Christ's blood was the ransom price that paid for all of our sins and redeemed us back to God. Forgiveness, therefore, is what we received by that blood of Jesus. And the Greek word for forgiveness that's used here literally means to let go, to send away. It's one of my favorite words in the Greek language. It's a great picture. To let go and to send away. That's where all of our sins went. They were let go, sent away, and nailed to Christ's cross, never to come back to haunt us. Every sin we've committed, every sin we will ever commit, has been let go and nailed to that cross of Christ. You and I have been chosen by God in Christ. We are His sons and daughters, and we will inherit the kingdom of heaven, not just for a lifetime, but for all eternity. What a blessing, what a comfort. Now let's live lives to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.